bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as you call your people together this day to worship you and to praise you and to give you thanks, we ask you also to open our ears to hear, that we might understand the truth of your word for each and every one of us. Be with us in this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is good to see you this morning from this perspective, as opposed to sitting in the back and seeing the back of your heads. And thanks to again to Pastor Eric for allowing me to preach, although I will say he assigned me what to preach on because he's been going through the book of Romans. And I love the book of Romans, so that's not a huge hardship, but as you've learned from him over the past several weeks, Romans is complicated and simple. And as I sit down to look at familiar words, I struggle to put together a message because there's so much in here, and I know that I'm only limited to about 3 hours. And so it's hard sometimes to take a text and to really fully develop it in the time constraints that we often have. I love Romans because I can relate very much to what he spoke to you about back in chapter 7. The good that I would do, that I find myself not doing, but that which I should do. And it just kind of encapsulates that whole struggle that we walk with in our lives each and every day. And last week, if you were here, Pastor left off with that wonderful expression given to us in chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's really where I want to start today. But I was a little disappointed because when I was listening to his sermon last week online, and then I start looking at what the text is assigned today, I noticed that for today's reading, it skips the first 11 verses of chapter 8 and picks up with verse 12. And I'm going, how can you do that? Because there's so much in those first 11 verses that you, in my opinion, humble as it may be, you dare not skip over. And so if you have one of these electronic devices and you'd like to read scripture on it, you know, feel free. We are in that world today. I know people kind of look funny at people on devices in church, but I do it, and my wife elbows me. Use a printed one. Well, the printed one doesn't have the Greek or the Hebrew or a different translation. So, besides which, I kind of like being able to make the print bigger. But listen, there is no condemnation. Think about that. Paul has spent so much of the time already writing about this struggle that we have between flesh and spirit, between sin and not sinning. The struggle that we have in life, and it really is a lifetime struggle. We are born into sin, Scripture reminds us. And every day we can turn around and we can see the results of sin in our world, and in our own lives, and the lives of people around us, in our church, in our nation. Because you see, we often get our priorities wrong. We often misunderstand where God has brought us. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. start with the latter part of that. In Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means when we are in Christ Jesus, we begin to see more clearly the heart of our Father, the heart of God Himself, who desires that we live and we walk according to His will and His purposes. And when we do that, there's no condemnation, because we are putting the things of God first. Is that easy to do? No. Paul goes on to say here, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Those are important words. Set free from the law of sin. And yet, how many times in our lives do we continually put ourselves back under that law? That we begin to live not as God intends or as God calls, but as our sinful flesh drives us. And yet what God did is He sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin He condemned sin in the flesh of His own Son. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Sometimes we get caught up in ourselves. We get caught up in what we want, what our own desires are. We get caught up in being drawn into the things of the world. And all God says is, stop. And ask yourself, what does my heart say? How do I want you to live? Put your mind on the things of the Spirit, not on the things of the flesh. To put your mind on the things of the flesh is to put your mind on death. But to put your mind on the things of the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind of the flesh is something that's hostile to God. It's something that is doing war with God. And that's not what God wants for us. He wants for us to live as He intends us to be, as He created us to be, as His children who know the heart of their Father. As one of our hymns sang a little bit earlier, and I don't know if you caught it, but it's kind of that whole idea of Father, and there's in the lines of those verses, there's that allusion to the prodigal son, who attempts to live life on his own terms and in his own ways. Knowing the will of his Father, but choosing to live contrary to it. And boy, does that burden fall on us, because we know the will of our Father. We know what the commandments are. I'm guessing, you know, if I gave you enough time, you could write them all down. Maybe not in order, but you'd probably get them all. And yet we stumble. The good that we should do, that we find ourselves not doing. And that which we should not be doing, that's what we find ourselves doing. And so the challenge for us in our everyday life as Christians is to begin to pause for a moment and say, what is it that God would have me to do at this time, in this place, in this circumstance? How would God have me to treat this individual, this person, this neighbor? The harsh words, and maybe this is why they decided to skip them for the reading, says, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwells in you. And so then, brothers, and now we pick up with our reading for today, we are debtors. Not to the flesh, we are in debt to who? Jesus Christ, who paid the price of our sinful flesh on the cross by freely offering himself up for us in our place. And so we are called by the cross to live no longer for ourselves, but for Christ who died for us, to live in the Spirit each and every day. Because to fail to live in the Spirit is to fall back into slavery, if you will, into sin. And God has bought us out of slavery to sin and into the freedom of grace, the freedom of living in the gospel. And I got to tell you, the older I get, the more clear this becomes. Because we begin to understand that life is not about us. It's about Christ, who calls us by name. It's about Christ who lives in us and who calls us to walk in his ways so that we might impact this world around us. Not simply by being preachy, but by living the hope that we have. By living in a way that exemplifies Christ and not ourselves. To live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died for us. Because we begin to understand that we owe everything to Christ. And when we forget that, we fall prey to the world. We fall prey to the temptations. We fall prey to our own sinful nature that's selfish. We fall prey. To that slavery. See, Paul is writing to remind us that when we are in Christ, there is no condemnation. We are in the Spirit of God and living for him. And that our life, our physical, mortal life, is of little consequence in light of what God calls us to do in living for him. It's an interesting turn of phrase when we begin to once again look at what he writes here. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now, the allusion here is to the fact that when we are in Christ, we are adopted into a new family. We're no longer slaves to the world and slaves to sin, but rather brothers and sisters brought into the family of God, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have received the Spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. That's in a very personal form of address to God. It's a form of address that all of the, how shall I say this, the religious uptights would go, You can't call God that. That's way too familiar. That's way too informal. That's almost insulting. Did you guys ever know anybody who referred to their parents always formally by, for example, the terms father and mother? They never used any other terms other than father. I actually knew some kids one time who referred to their father as Baron. That's the way he ran his family. And so they'd talk about him in terms of the Baron says. I go, you gotta be kidding me. That is the strangest thing I've ever heard. But in the culture and the custom of that day, there's such a formality that exists in the way that things are laid out. And sometimes we can be that way too. And we are. After all, we don't say, our daddy who art in heaven. We're more formal. We talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But here what Paul does, he says, but you need to understand that this relationship you have is like an endearing relationship. Abba. Daddy. Daddy, my Father. This is a word that's usually reserved to your physical, earthly father and not applied to God. But here, Paul applies it to God. Abba, Father. Why? Because we are his heirs. We are his children. We have his heart. I don't know about you. But growing up, I always knew my father's will. I knew when I was confronted with something, a choice, a decision, I knew what my father wanted me to do. And I admit there were times when I deliberately stepped across that line and did it my way. And subsequently, paid the price. You all have been around long enough to know you've heard some of those stories. But through it all, my father never stopped loving me. Now the tables have turned a little bit. He's going to be 88, and I draw some lines, and he pays the price. Stay off the roof, Dad. I don't know. There's some about ladders that just, I don't know. But we have the heart of our father. And then, because we are heirs with him and heirs with Christ, we have no condemnation. Because when you're doing the Father's will, when you understand the heart of your Father and you're living in that way, there's no condemnation. And yet, if we live in God's way in this world, and Paul's very aware of it. Says it in the last verse of our lesson today. We're going to suffer. Think about that for a moment. We're going to suffer. Now, if I'm following Christ and I have the heart of the Father, how might I suffer when I'm doing his will? Let's think about it. How might I suffer? Do I suffer like the Green Bay Packers when they lose the Super Bowl to the Denver Broncos? Is that suffering? Disappointment. Do I suffer if I miss a meal here or there? Might cause some hunger. If I'm following Christ and living by the heart of my Father, do I suffer when I share my faith with an unbeliever? Do I have a fear of being persecuted, of being made fun of being ridiculed, of having the door slammed in my face or being spat upon because I profess my faith in Christ? In the big scheme of things, those are small sufferings. Compared to what Christ suffered on a cross for my sin. Bottom line, folks, is in today's world, God calls us to share His word. A word that goes out and accomplishes the purposes that God intends through His people. If we look around and we say, boy, it'd be nice if the pews were full. Stop and ask yourself, is that the will in the heart of my Father? Yes. How does it happen? Oh, we'll start some great new evangelism program and we'll get three people to volunteer. How well do you think that works? Each of us are called by our Father to share the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ in word and in deed. It's up to us, every one of us. And now I go, oh, wait a minute, I can't do that. The fear starts to come in. Let me ask you this. What do children do when they're afraid? They run to who? The neighbor? No. They run to their grandparents. And to their parents. They run to their father. You see, that's where we go. When we have this opportunity to live our faith and to share our faith, the first thing that we do is we go to Father and we say, Abba, Daddy, help me. I got this great opportunity to share my faith, but I am afraid. My favorite story of fear in the Bible is Peter. Walking on water. And we hear in that wonderful account that somehow partway across the water, he turns and he sees the wind and the waves. He takes his eyes off of Jesus and the fear overcomes him. And what does he do? He starts to sink. Everybody misses the miracle to me. The miracle is not that Jesus reaches out, grabs his hand, and saves him. The miracle comes even before the fear that he got out of the boat in the first place. That's the call. Get out of your safety net. Get out of your sense of this is where I belong and go out into the world where Christ sends us. Overcome the fear by focusing on Christ. Get out of the boat. And if you suffer in doing so, that's okay. Because as we suffer, we learn and we grow and we begin to understand. I got to tell you, a different type of suffering. If I wear a Nebraska Cornhuskers hat anywhere, I get ridiculed. And you know what? It doesn't bother me. Right, Matt? It doesn't bother me. Because I'm secure in who I am. But if I put on a shirt that somehow acknowledges Jesus Christ or Christ Lutheran Church in school, and then I get attacked for that, does that bother me? Your question. No, because I'm used to it. Would it bother you? What bothers me is that the heart of the person who is condemning, the heart of the person who is persecuting, is lost. That's what bothers me. Have courage. Hold tight to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone. Don't be afraid to begin to impact this world with the message that needs to be heard above all other messages, that Jesus Christ suffered and died for our sins because He loves us, that He took our place on that cross, and that He died and was buried and on the third day raised to newness of life by His Father, Abba. Where we find our strength and our hope. That's the message the world needs to know and to hear and to understand. Don't be afraid. What can the world do to you when Christ is in you and with you? What can the world do? Not a thing. Let's share our faith. Let's grow the church. Let's tell people about Jesus Christ. That's the good that we ought to find ourselves doing. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith of God in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. You know, one of the things about growing older that I noticed, I can't read the clock in the narthex, so I don't know how long I preached.